God is an amazing God, and in the goodness of God, the pursuit that he's running after us. Wonderful messages that we should be telling everyone. I mean, I have a story, you have a story. We all have a different story to tell. I know where my story began, and I know where it's going to end. But it's not going to end, because it's going to be eternally, and I'm going to be with my Lord and Savior forever. That's where my story, you know, that's my story. What's your story? Think about that. What is your story to share with, you know, to share with this world? I mean, that's really what it's all about. That's why we come together and meet together. The importance of us meeting together. It's not about celebrating the building. It's not about celebrating the synagogue. It's about coming together as like-minded believers and sharing in the goodness of God. And letting everybody know how much God loves you. I mean, we all have a story to tell that it is unbelievable. I love to hear your stories. We even sang a song years ago about that. I love to tell a story, right? But we love to tell a story about Jesus and His mercy and His grace, what He's done for each of us in our lives. You know, the principles of our faith that must be worked out in our lives. I was thinking about that. Our relationship with God should be just embedded in prayer. And I hope that you are praying people. Reading and knowing God's Word and applying it to our lives properly is important as well. Getting in the church to hear God's Word and worship and fellowship with people of like-minded faith is important. I got to do that yesterday. It wasn't just about a time that we just got together and talked. But it was a time that I could meet new people and share with them of like-minded, because they love their church. They love God, and they came to the event yesterday because they wanted to hear everyone's story. Fellowship together. You know, these are all designed by God to help us journey through life and help us with our walk with God. We need each other. You know, I need you, and you need me. We need each other. Amen?
Amen.
It helps to get through this life. I'm not here to point fingers at anyone. We're here to love each other, encourage one another, building each other up in the most holy faith. You know, I think one of the main reasons that people can't walk their faith out in this world is because they have no discipline in many areas, in prayer and in fellowship and all that. They think they can do it alone, and let me tell you, you can't do it alone. We need to be focused on the one thing that matters, and the one thing that matters most, and that's our walk with God and our relationship with Him. We need each other to help us through that walk. We need to be focused on the most important thing. You know, the thing that holds us back the most is our sin nature and our self-centeredness. We often get a mindset of what we want rather than what God wants. We ask God to bless what we're doing rather than doing what God desires. This world is really a self-centered, focused world rather than focused on what God's will is for each of our lives. You know, I have a cell phone. I rarely take a selfie. You know, it can be selfish. It can be self-centered. It can be I post something and three people like it, and I look at that and say, nobody loves me. I mean, I have, 1,200 friends. Where were they at? I thought they liked me. But see, that's what we look at instead of looking at what really matters. Amen? I don't want to go off in the bushes on that, but the world is focused on themselves rather than on God's will, is what I'm trying to say. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, one verse this morning, really, I want to look at. It's so much in this one verse. It says, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, that's really a familiar verse. We've heard it throughout our lives. Many of you that's been in church and around church and even outside of church, you probably heard that. The question is, whose kingdom is it that you're focused on? Is it God's kingdom or your kingdom? Your righteousness or God's righteousness? You know, stuck right here in Matthew, in the red letter words, if you had the red letter word Bible, right between not worrying and finding peace and storing of our own treasures and not judging others is seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. We find this. And all these things will be given to you as well. And what are all the things? They are peace of mind, not allowing worry to control you. It's not storing up all your treasures here and sending some ahead of you. You know, I saw, of course, I'm on Facebook sometimes, and I saw this picture of a hearse pulling a U-Haul. And I thought, well, maybe you really can take it with you, you know? Digging a big hole, I guess. I don't know. But these things are not the focus, because the focus for our before our believer has to be about God's kingdom. For us as believers, it has to be kingdom-minded. We are kingdom-minded people. We don't think about the worldly things as much as we do kingdom things. And that's where our focus has to be. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get pulled away from kingdom-minded things. Jesus here is letting us know that he is aware of what we need. You know that? Jesus knows what you need. He even said that. He said, you know what? Don't you think I even know what the birds and I know what they need. Don't you think I know what you need too? Don't you think I'd take care of you? You know, we're to depend on him to provide, doing all that we know to do, but trusting him to provide it. You know, I think we've missed that a little bit. We focus on, well, this is what I need to do today because this is what I need. This takes away the excuse of doing nothing and wondering why nothing is happening. Let me give you another verse. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen?
Amen.
You know, there's some people that worry about today. They worry about tomorrow. They worry about next week. They worry about next month. They worry about next year. They worry about 20 years from now. They worry about retirement. They worry about politics. They worry about the economy. They worry about their job. They worry about where they live. If that's not enough, some people worry about other people and the other people's problems. You know, we got enough problems of our own. Why do we need to worry about somebody else's problems?
So they can judge.
They just worry about everything. You know, we do that, don't we? Man, it's so easy we worry about everything. Where does our faith come in, though? At what point do we stop worrying and start living like we're supposed to? Focused believers, Jesus-minded people will live each day looking for God's will and His direction. We do what we know to do. We prepare as much as we can, but trust God to take care of the things that we do not control. You know, there's things that we can't control, but yet we worry about those things. The what ifs. Well, what if? What if? You ever hear the term, you can't have your cake and eat it too? I think that's ridiculous. Because I think you can have your cake and eat it too. It's your cake. Right? Why can't you eat it when you want to eat it, right? But concerning spiritual things, when you surrender your life to God, you receive not only abundant life here, but also the gift of eternal life in the future. You can have your cake and eat it too. Amen?
Amen.
Think about that. In fact, you know, I encourage it. You know, we need to live like we are kingdom-minded people. Like there is goodness in God. Like He is our eternal Savior. Amen?
Amen.
And not just walk around with worry and doubt and fear and, you know, about what's going to happen, because what's going to happen is going to happen. There's just some things we can't control and we can't change. And so our focus should always be on the kingdom. The Bible is full of verses that tell us we can have our cake and eat it too. It's full of it. There are many verses in the Bible that tells us to be focused on God first, and that He will provide. You believe that today? I hope when you leave here today that you believe that. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Another scripture, no man can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one or love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You know, the verse we read about worrying is connected within the same verse that we need stuff, but stuff can't have us. And you need money, but money can't be your treasure. You need to take care of things, but you cannot worry about the things that you cannot change. And most of the things that we worry about never happen. You know, the things that do happen, the things that were out of your control, you couldn't change anyway. You know, the difficult question is, how do I keep focus? How do we keep focus on Jesus amidst all these distractions in our life? This world is full of it. It wants to drag us away, and we know that everything in this world wants to pull us away from our relationship with God. You don't have to look very far to see it. Everything in this world wants to pull you away, wants to drag you away and tear you away from a relationship with God Almighty. You know, in 1836, Samuel Morse invented Morse code. And soon after, several people were applying for a job. They were all sitting in a room waiting their turn to be interviewed. They were in a crowded room, and no one could hear each other because of all the conversation that was going on, and it was really loud. And in the midst of all the noise, a man came into the room and said, "Thank you for coming, but the job has been filled." And they asked the man why they were not able to interview, and he replied, "During that time, He had sent a Morse code message by tapping on the door of his office. And if you understood this message, to come, this is what the message said. If you understand this message, then come into my office right now and the job is yours. And they said that wasn't fair because they didn't hear it. One guy heard it though, and he got the job. You know, the thing is sometimes we're not tuned in to the things of God because of all the distractions that are going on in our life. We can even be sitting in church and be so distracted that we don't even hear the call of God. That we don't even hear that small, still voice speaking to us and saying, "Hey, I love you. Hey, I want to be closer to you. Hey, I want that relationship with you." Because of all the noise in the room, all the distractions. And, you know, I'm one that it takes me a long time to shut down. Because when I get in a quiet place, I have about 8 billion things going on in my head. And it's like I'm wanting to focus, I want to pray, I need to study, I need to read. But it's like it takes me a little bit. Anybody else like that? You know, because you're thinking about what tomorrow's, you know, I've got, and some of it's good stuff. I mean, I'm thinking about church. I'm thinking about somebody that's sick. I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about the kid. I'm thinking about the wife. I'm thinking about supper, the dog. I mean, all this, and it seems to just be bouncing around in my head. Sometimes I get so much of that in my head, maybe I'm not hearing that small, still voice that God is saying, "Randy, I need you to do something for me." So I have to just decompress. I need to take that time and just, "Okay, God, I'm listening. I want to take a moment and just shut down. I want to listen to you." And it takes a little bit. But before long, I'm asleep. No.
Amen.
Amen? That happens too, doesn't it? And you wake up, you say, "I'm sorry, God. I was talking to you." You know, the disciples did the same thing. Jesus came back, said, "Hey, can't you guys even stay awake for just a little bit and pray for me? You know, I'm going through something here." They didn't understand. You know, Jesus knew what was going to happen. They were distracted too. They were tired. They were wore out. You know, that the ones that eliminate the distraction are the ones that hear God's voice when He speaks. You know, I'm saying to you that there's a job to do. There's a job opening. And I really want to ask, who's going to fill that job? Are you going to do that this morning? Realize He is God, and we're not. The focus of our life is on Him and not us. And I think we get that mixed up sometimes. There's a God, and honestly, we're not Him. We did not put the stars in place. God did. We didn't go to the cross. That was Jesus that did that. We can't save ourselves. We need a Savior. The focus is on God and His priorities for our lives. And the best way to stay focused is to stay focused on God. Simple as that. We have to put God first. We've heard that. Who's heard that? Put God first. Who's heard that? Amen.
Amen.
But how many of us do? Every day. I would ask you this morning to do a quick exam on yourself. Maybe not a quick exam, but maybe examine yourself. Is God first in your life? Is God first in your relationships? Is He first in with your time? And who usually wins? Who usually wins? Is it your Bible or your TV? I know the answer to that one. For me. Because there's been days that the TV wins out. Because I'm tired and all, you know, and it's more of a distraction than it is. I probably, half of the what I'm listening to, I don't even retain it because I'm just. Sunday mornings, sleeping in or dragging yourself to church to worship. Well, I'm here, barely. You know, a lot of that happens, and I understand. It's hard to get up, drag the kids, get them dressed, fight with them. Sometimes that's the way it is, isn't it? It's like a constant battle, and you get to church, and you're like, I'm here. Is it over already? You know? I had a funeral one time, and it was a graveside only, and it was short. And we got there, and there was an older gentleman that I didn't notice that this was going on, but he couldn't walk very well, and he had a walker, you know, and it was probably 25 minutes that the service was going on, and by the time I was done with the service and the family was done, I prayed the closing prayer, and this gentleman just got there, and I didn't know this, you know. And the words out of his mouth, I'll never forget. He says, "It's over already?" And he said it really loud in front of everybody. "It's over already." And it just stuck with me, you know. I don't know why I shared that, but it just hit me. And it's just life in general is what I'm talking about, where our relationship with God is in your life. Is He number one in your life? Is Sunday mornings an important day for you? I mean, are you excited about coming and worshiping with your like-minded family and friends? Or if someone followed your life around for a week or two, what would they find out about you? Would they realize that, man, this person is a kingdom-minded person? What would a stranger say about your priorities? You know, the Lord, one thing I've read and studied is the Lord will never say, "Well, I met someone else." He's always in pursuit of a relationship with you and I. 24/7, 365 days a year. You know, if we want to see God do some amazing things and we trust Him as sometimes as an afterthought, we want all the benefits of the cross without the obligation to the cross. Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." What is that? That's an obligation that we have to the cross. But yet, we really want the benefits of it. When you fail, you know who the first one is there to pick you up? It's Jesus. I hope you see that. Because you know there's always a moment in our life that, you know, sometimes we just mess up. And we can see the forgiveness and find mercy when we focus right back on Him and keep moving forward. You know, this morning, can we as a church want what God wants for us? Not just as a church, but as an individual. And we want God's agenda and not our agenda. Can we want His will for our lives and His will for our church? Can we be in pursuit of Him like He is always pursuing us? What difference would it make for us in our lives and for our church if we would just dedicate our lives to Him and be kingdom-minded people? Let God set the agenda for your life. And don't worry about the rest of it. You know, I saw that in the scripture with the disciples. They were worried before the day of Pentecost. You know, the day of Pentecost is coming soon. Easter will be here soon. You know, and Pentecost Sunday is just as important a day as Easter Sunday to me, or even Christmas. Because it's the time when we see in the scriptures that the disciples went from being worrier and all that to being kingdom-minded people, to not worrying about whatever was going to happen to them. The time they realized that, hey, their focus became Christ-minded. A lot of times we don't ask God to bless our plans. We ask Him to bless us as we do what we want. We trust God to meet our needs and our desires, and instead of His will and His way. You guys are thinking this morning, aren't you? I hope. But I want you to leave here encouraged, because we know who Jesus is and what He's done for us. Amen? I mean, that's something to shout about. That's something to be joyful about. It's something to get excited about. Man, God has been so good, not just only to me, but I know to many of you. I've heard your stories. Share that story with somebody. Share that story. You know how people find Jesus? It's through kingdom-minded believers. They see you and they want what you have. And you can tell them, what I have is Jesus in my life. So let's be a people who are willing to share and to show people the love and the goodness of God. Use your story. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You again so much. You have brought me so far from where I was. Lord, and I look forward to where You're going to take me. Wherever that is, Lord. It's Your agenda. It's what You want for me. It's Your will in my life, not mine. Lord, I thank You for being here this morning with us. Lord, let us be of one like-mind believers here. Let us be focused on You and building Your kingdom, Lord. It's Your kingdom. It's Your church. It's Your will. Lord, I thank You again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.